Did Facebook figure out how to sell things online?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Somebody's excited about Facebook's money-making abilities this morning. Its stock in early trading went up 26% after the social media company announced yesterday its sales went up more than 50% last quarter. Advertisers are paying, but are consumers really buying? Tech analyst Rob Enderle is with the Enderle Group in California.
The problem is those mobile users aren't very valuable, so that's been an issue as well.
Not very valuable. I thought that's like the holy grail of online advertising, but you're thinking not so much?
Well, so the issue is whether or not the folks that are connecting to any service via mobile are really consuming ads. They're on very small screens. The screens don't lend themselves to ads particularly well. On the mobile device, it's not even clear they're seeing the ads because the screens, as I say, are so small.
Ultimately, it's fine if a bunch of people see a little ad for chinos pants for men. But the question for the pants maker is, did anybody buy pants as a result?
Exactly right.
So it's way too early to say that Facebook has turned a corner and cracked the magic of making lots of money off mobile ads.
I would say that. Until we can really figure out the true value of an online user, the Facebook and everybody else really is at risk.
Tech analyst Rob Enderle. Shares in the big internet search engine in China are also up 14% in the pre-market. Baidu's sales were also higher than expected. CBS and Time Warner Cable are at each other's throats over the price of programming. They've just agreed to keep negotiating at least through Monday now, but blackouts of CBS programs are still possible. And it's also possible that in New York, Time Warner could violate the law of the universe that states clearly that the CBS affiliate in that metro must be at Channel 2 specifically. The cable company could put it up at 179 or something as punishment, part of the ongoing dispute over the rising cost of programming, costs that can get passed on to consumers. Shannon Mullen has more.
Both sides have been using the airwaves to make their case.
Time is running out, and Time Warner Cable is not listening.
Time Warner complains the fee CBS charges for retransmitting its shows is too steep. CBS counters its programming costs more. Wondering why? Check out its contracts with pro sports leagues. Justin Nielsen is an analyst for SNL Kagan.
The sports costs are being built into the cost of programming, and that's one of the things that is still considered a live product for advertisers and still very attractive for broadcasters and cable operators.
The rub is sports cost cable subscribers more whether they're watching football or not, industry analyst Craig Moffitt.
Sports are roughly 17% of viewership and account for about half of the cost of a cable bundle.
And Moffitt says the cost of sports programming is going up faster than everything else. Bottom line for cable subscribers, get used to those ad wars. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
General Motors today reported profits of $1.2 billion. That's better than expected, and weirdly, that's the very same earnings tally, $1.2 billion, reported by Ford this week. Ford is in vogue to the point that import buyers in Northern California and the Northeast are buying a lot of the once fusty brand. Jamie Kitman is New York editor for Automobile Magazine and has driven many a new Ford. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, David.
So are the cars actually any good?
They are good, actually. Ford really had their back against the wall in the recession when that hit, and the company decided to do what it had always said it was going to do and use its European platforms all around the world, and those are now the basis of the successful Fiesta, Focus, and Fusion cars.
You have a plug-in hybrid, the C-Max, and some of those cars are kind of pretty.
They are. People like them quite a bit. The Fusion has been accused of cribbing its grill from the Aston Martin. But, you know, what can I say? It's a good kind of grill.
If it's good enough for James Bond, it's good enough for Fusion drivers.
Exactly.
They spent a lot of time on research, though, Ford, before coming out with many of these models.
Well, I don't know that that's extraordinary. You know, perhaps that's part of it, but I think it's really based more on the fact that the cars are pretty good. They're priced pretty competitively. And there's something else, I think, too.
What? More broadly, what's going on at Ford?
Well, I sort of see a generational swing. I mean, you know, probably remember when we were young and, you know, BMWs and Volvos and Audis and things like that were really cool. And that was a time when things like Fords and Chevys were really uncool. Ultimately, I think the pendulum had a swing back.
It's like my 19-year-old daughter who listens to Led Zeppelin again. If you wait long enough, stuff comes back.
Inevitably, it comes back, yes.
But you've driven a lot of these. The cars aren't perfect.
No, they're pretty great to drive, and they're a lot of fun. But the two main problems Ford has experienced have to do with the fact that the cars in general have not been meeting their EPA mileage estimates. The other problem has to do with the interface system, Ford MyTouch, which has been criticized by almost every car magazine and Consumer Reports. And Ford has pretty much spent the entire time since they introduced it redesigning it.
Jamie Kidman, Automobile Magazine, also writes for GQ. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And from the latest Journal of Environmental Psychology, people are more likely to engage with merchandise and maybe actually buy things if they smell chocolate. The hypothesis was tested in a Belgian bookstore. The smell worked better for food and romance books more than history. All the real estate agents are nodding right now, the ones who've for years been telling their home sellers to bake chocolate chip cookies during their open houses. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.